Part 2, Chapter 3. The following day, Turl probed around the disused quarters of the old Chinkos. It was unpleasant work. The quarters were outside the pressurized cyclodomes of the mine site, and he had to wear a breathe mask. The Chinkos were air breathers. And while the quarters had been sealed off, a few hundred years of neglect and weather leaks had left their marks. There were rows and rows of bookcases, lines and lines of filing cabinets full of notes, old scarred desks, rickety and frail to begin with, collapsing into themselves, piles of junk in lockers, and everything filmed over with white dust. Good thing he didn't have to breathe it. What funny beings the Chinkos had been. They were the Intergalactic Mining Company's answer to some protests by more warlike and able worlds that mining was wrecking planetary ecologies. And the company being plush and profitable at that time, some knothead of a director in Intergalactic's main office had created the Culture and Ethnology Department, or C&E. Maybe it was originally named the Ecological Department, but Chinkos could paint. And some intergalactic director's wear-the-claws wife had begun to make a private fortune selling Chinko work on other planets and got the name changed. There was very little that didn't show up in the secret files of the security department. It was the strike the Chinkos had invented, not the corruption, that caused the final wipeout. Corruption at director level was very paws-off for security. A strike was not. But the Chinkos here had been gone long before that, and this place looked it. What, after all, was worth culturing on this planet? There weren't enough indigenous populations left to bother with. And who had cared, anyway? But like any bureaucracy, the Chinkos had been busy. Look at those hundreds of yards of cabinets and books. Turl was looking for a manual on the feeding habits of man. Surely these busy Chinkos had studied that. He pawed and pawed. He opened and flipped hundreds of indexes. He got down and poked into lockers. And while he got a very good idea of what there was in these rambling offices and lockers, he couldn't find one single thing about what man ate. He found what bears ate. He found what mountain goats ate. He even found a treatise, scholarly composed, printed and reeking with wasted expense, on what some beast known as a whale ate. A treatise that ended up, laughably enough, with the fact that the beast was totally extinct. Turl stood in the middle of the place, disgusted. No wonder the company had phased out C&E on Earth. Imagine roaring around, burning up fuel, keeping a whole book manufacturing plant steaming like a digger's shovel, wearing out eyesight. It wasn't all in vain, though. He had learned from the aged and yellowed map he now gripped in his hand that there were a few other groups of men left on this planet. At least there had been a few hundred years ago. Some were in a place the Chinkos called Alps. Several dozen, in fact. There had been about 15 up in the ice belt the Chinkos called North Pole and Canada. There had been an unestimated number at a place called Scotland, and there had been some in Scandinavia, and also in a place called Colorado. This was the first time he had seen the Chinko name for this central mine site area. Colorado. He looked at the map with some amusement. Rocky Mountains. Pike's Peak. Funny Chinko names. The Chinkos always did their work in painfully severe cyclo, faithful to their ore. But they had had funny imaginations. This was getting him no place, however. Although it was good to know, for the sake of his planning, that there had been a few more men around. He would have to rely on what he should have relied on in the first place. Security. The techniques of security. He would put them to work. He walked out and closed the door behind him and stared around at this non-cyclo-alien world. The old Chinko offices, barracks, and zoo were up on the high hill back of the mine site. Close by, but higher. The arrogant bastards. One could see all around from this place. One could see the ore transshipment platform as well as the freighter assembly field. The place didn't look very busy down there. Intergalactic would be sending some sizzlers down the line unless quotas were met. He hoped he wouldn't have too many investigations ordered by the Home Office. Blue sky, yellow sun, green trees, and the wind that tugged at him full of air. How he hated this place. The thought of staying made him grit his fangs. Well, what do you expect in an alien world? He'd finish that investigation ordered about a lost tractor, and then put his tried-and-true security technology to work on that man thing. That was the only way out of this hellhole.